So Atlanta Falcons UK, about an hour ago, had a DM from somebody and said, do you know how to get a boner reduced? I'm asking for a friend, and put a picture of it up. So I've just replied, quote tweeted, I think I have an answer, lads. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the 2-point conversion instant reaction show following the Saints' come from behind victory against the Falcons. Yes, I did have to rewrite that intro. I'm James, and I'm your host for today. Joining me is Scott, Wesley, and Ben. How you doing, guys?
Good now. I'm about to have a fucking heart attack, but other than that, I'm doing good.
It's good to have the season back, but I really can't be doing that every Sunday. That's going to kill me.
Well, I'm not really sure where to start today. Do we start with the offense? Well, the first half sucked. We couldn't run, pass protect the QB or pass the ball. But the second half was much better. What changed? The defense couldn't stop the run. Bit of a worry there. Special teams, obviously Lutz missed a kick, but then came up big at the end of the game to hit the game winner. So I think let's start with the offense. Who wants to go first?
Well, the first half, I made a note. The first half, we had the wide receivers for the Saints had 3 catches for 20 yards. Michael Thomas had 0 catches in the first half. Now, we ended with 216 yards. I'm just talking about strictly wide receivers. And Michael Thomas, I just had it up. Let's see. Finished 5 receptions, 57 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Jarvis Landry, 6 receptions, 114 yards. I can't even say there's a big difference between the first half and the second half, but I can say there was a big difference between the first 3 quarters and the fourth quarter. It was a completely different team just in the fourth quarter. The rest of the game, we could have just – it was shit. And then we get to the fourth quarter and we woke up.
Something definitely changed, though. And was it – did we go hurry up?
We went tempo because, you know, we were down, so we needed to go tempo. I don't know. I don't know if they started playing softer on us. I don't know. We didn't run the ball well at all, like all day long. Ingram, I'm surprised they didn't run Ingram more. At one point, he was averaging like 6.7 yards a carry, and we just weren't giving the ball. And Kamara, I don't know. I have to assume the way the offensive line looked in the first 3 quarters, we weren't running the ball well because they weren't blocking well. Like, I have to guess that's the issue, right?
I think so. I saw a tweet coming out that I think it was from Juice saying that Kamara went to the locker room towards the end of the game. So I'm not sure what's going on there. We'll find out in due course.
I didn't see that on the
I only saw Juice put it on Twitter. No, it wasn't on the commentary. I only saw Juice put it on Twitter. So I'm not sure if that's
accurate. Mike Triplett retweeted somebody posting a picture of Kamara walking in the locker room saying, uh-oh.
Yeah, so that's not good. Okay. But something that we didn't really all expect to see was what Taysom Hill's role was going to be this year, with him coming in and being what he was last year. Just that sort of jack of all trades, Swiss Army knife that you get a spark from. What was brilliant to see.
Well, he was our entire offense in the first half.
First half, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And QB power to the right behind Ramjet, a 57-yard run and a touchdown.
Yeah. And we now know that Doug Marone's not a miracle worker, Cesar Ruiz. So
no.
Well, let's go on to the O-line then, because, you know, we had pretty high hopes for the unit. But yikes, in the first half, that was not good.
So yeah, it was terrible.
I think it's remiss to first talk about the offense, and the first thing we don't talk about is Michael Thomas. He did not play at all this preseason. It took him 3 quarters to figure out, you know, a little bit of
change of cleats, and
maybe stop falling down. But Michael Thomas is a damn good wide receiver in the NFL, and he knows it, and he is interested in proving it to everybody. And his hand strength and the way he's moving and all, and I think there was a lot of things. I mean, we a lot of players on our offense and even a few in our defense we'll get to did not play at all in any preseason games. And no matter if they're tackling in practice, it's not the same as tackling when wrapping up a hitter of a person on the other team and trying to actually lay a hit on them. And if I can go back in for the first three quarters, we were touching Pat Patterson and Mariota behind the line and just not getting tackles. But I think on the offensive side, we had that too. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the offensive line had some questionable blocking. There was also times that Jameis held on to the ball too long. Again, he hasn't played a whole bunch in the preseason. And we can end in the fourth quarter looking really good. We're going to have to wait for a couple more weeks to know. Did it just take three quarters for us to get warmed up? One thing that just kept, I was trying not to be a homer about it, but watching the game, I was like, we're the more talented team here. We were not executing at all. And it's really hard for me to get scared about Atlanta running the ball on us because they do that. We're not going to face a combination like Mariota and Patterson again this year. That's a weird combo that doesn't really exist in the NFL.
We will one more game.
And I just want to say, I mean, if Mariota's not going to be their starter by then, though. They're going to get the rookie in there to see what he can do.
No, they are.
But I'm just like, this is, I don't know if it's an excuse, but like I think our defense is built in today's NFL with a lot of defensive backs. This is probably not what we're built for is, a big running quarterback and a running back that's 240 pounds. It's a little bit different. And so, I mean, I'm trying to write it off as that is this is just a non-traditional game for that. And then our offense needed to get warmed up and play a little bit together in real football.
I think your point there about the Falcons offense, we clearly didn't have the game plan where we were going to get after the quarterback and try and sack him because Mario is not a pocket quarterback. Next week will be very different. I think the defensive game plan will be very different next week when you've got a statue.
Quarterback
for the opposing team.
I was kind of wondering that during the game because we didn't really get any pressure on him. I don't think we had any sacks. I don't know. I guess it's because of his rushing ability. I know he got out of one tackle. I think May had him on, in the backfield and he got out of it. So, I mean, hopefully that's it. Where the pros differ. I mean, the pros have preseason, but like we said, we didn't really play our starters in the preseason. And it's just it takes time to get that timing back. It'll be interesting to see next game if we start off hot and it carries over. I guess that's what I'll kind of be looking for, at least offensively speaking, if it carries over in the next game.
Go on.
Well, I mean, serious question, this is big picture. I mean, a friend of mine texted me as soon as the game ended, is this the most undeserving win in Saints history?
No.
I mean, I've seen surprise games that we've lost a lot of, but a game where I don't know if I think so, because I think that the big Breeze comeback a few years ago, was it in Arizona?
The Washington game.
Washington.
The one that Ben was at.
Washington one, yeah. I think that one seemed like it was worse, where this one, it was just, I didn't know if I've ever felt like Atlanta played great. It was just sloppy and dirty.
Right. And I think
Atlanta played to their max, and we played at our weakest, and we still won it.
Yeah, I think that it showed us, resilience that we came back. They mentioned during the game that the sideline reporter said that our defense was really just cool and calm on the sideline. They never got feisty with each other. They never got down on each other. They were just cool and collected. They knew what they had to do. They knew when they needed to turn it on. And that helped them in the end, with some big stops. Even though the refs seemed to try to give them the game as much as possible, we definitely got some key stops and, gave the offense a chance to come back. And look, those last two drives that Jameis had, that was Jameis. No picks today, no turnovers, and the wide receivers were getting wide open. And you have to believe that the Falcons were playing back a little bit, kind of maybe a prevent a little bit, but I mean, our wide receivers were getting just wide open.
Well, when Jameis got sacked a couple times, we had receivers wide open too. You're right, Scott. I mean, our I mean, and again, there's pressure, and I mean, I think somebody way smarter than me has got to look at what our offensive line did, and if we were making bad calls or completely missed assignments, somebody else has got to look at that. But our receivers were wide open.
Yeah, I definitely think Jameis gets a little more time. I think last stat I remember seeing is that he sacked us 4 times. You know, my main concern is just getting Jameis hurt. Obviously, he went to the blue tent at one point in the game, came back out of it, and
came out on fire.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah, so
people
do go into the blue tent to go to the bathroom, and there's like, hey, did anybody know, was Vilma the biggest Atlanta Falcons fan that there's ever been? Like,
I think he was trying to not look like a homer.
I thought that, but then he was talking about like specific things he knew about the Falcons, and then was saying things about the Saints that were wrong, saying that, I mean, he flat out said that we brought in Evans to replace CJGJ, which again, the only reason Evans is playing is because the Debo's hurt. That's right. Roby's position, probably. It was just weird that he didn't seem to know, but he was also a huge fan. It was really weird. Like,
it was, I noticed that
the
too.
The Carl Pitt hype as well. I just don't get it. Just don't get it.
He's the only player they got. I mean, he's really,
well, I don't know. Drake London
Patterson pretty well.
Yeah. Drake London looks not a half bad wide receiver, but like,
on the Saints. Sorry, Ben.
Just saying the Carl Pitt type, and there's like, they mentioned the only thing, he's not scored a touchdown in America yet. And it's just like, well, how can you have an amazing rookie season? He scored 1 touchdown. Like,
well, just an update, Juwan Johnson and Kyle Pitts are tied in touchdowns for the season.
Nobody's pulled
away
yet.
Nobody's pulled away yet.
So you mentioned Debo not playing and Roby before. I think the sooner a Debo can come back, the better, because Roby on the outside does not fill me with confidence.
Also, great news that Adebo did make the trip to Atlanta. He was on the field before, like, he's in warm-up clothes. That means he probably, if it was later in the season, could have felt like playing. So I feel good about like saying that he'll be here next week against the Buccaneers.
You know, and I definitely have to say, like, props to Will Lutz. Like, he misses that first kick off the upright. If he makes that kick, we're not in the position we're in at the end of the game because we already have the lead. You know, things are a little bit different. But to come back and just to drill that kick, you know, with that little, you know, at the last second, you know, big props to Lutz. We lose that game last year without him being in the lineup.
Oh, 100%. 100%. So the new players that were in the team, the main ones I'm thinking of, May, Tyrann Mathieu,
he looked great,
and Jarvis Landry. All three of them made big plays. I mean, obviously, Landry went for 100 plus yards. Marcus May,
114 really, yards.
Yeah. Marcus May looked really, really good. That punch out for the fumble on Mariota on the goal line was pretty good. You know, it's the first time they've all played together. It was probably going to be a little bit sloppier, but I think
I remember the same being with Malcolm Jenkins first playing with Marcus Williams. It was a bit sloppy for the first game or two, wasn't it? So it's going to take its time.
Yeah, both times Jenkins played with us, the first few games were sloppy.
Yeah, so it takes time. But
well, and also we're just going around defense. Pete Werner was an animal.
He needs to fix his chin strap a little bit better.
Nobody threw enough fit about it, but like the penalty they called on him, like the receiver lowered into him. Now again, he was standing there, but he didn't lower his shoulder. The receiver lowered his shoulder and actually was lower than Werner, which is weird. I get it that maybe that's the call, but you got 13 tackles, including 12 solo tackles for Werner and a tackle for a loss. He was everywhere. And my goodness, that's a huge deal having that guy healthy. And again, that's a guy that I don't believe is probably playing at his best yet because he didn't play all preseason. I mean, this is not the best he's going to look this year. Being around this team.
Remember when a lot of people doubted that draft pick?
Oh yeah. I think I did too.
Oh, did you? I'm not a big watcher of college football, so obviously I'm not gonna
go. I'm pretty sure there was a safety or something. That was before Matthew news came out. So I'm pretty sure there was a safety that I was wondering about, and like then I think, and I was in the camp too, it was like, oh, we're drafting Werner, then we're admitting Zach Bond is a mistake. And that pissed me off as well, because it was almost like two bad draft picks. But no, Werner is a animal.
But then Zach Bond came up with the block kick, I believe.
He got the highest. Turner got it.
Oh, is it Turner? Was it?
Oh, right, yeah. Okay. Zach Bond, I don't know what he jumped on to get as high as he did, but Turner got it before it got to Bond.
Because I was wondering, I was just thinking, where the hell was Turner all game? I was like, I just haven't seen him at all, and it comes up with that. But that's
It wasn't really a game for your defensive ends in a pass rush situation, though, was it? I think you'll see that more next week.
I kept seeing people complain that we weren't getting pass rush pressure. We weren't trying to. Now, the sad part about it is that we weren't getting pressure because we were trying to stay in our lane so he couldn't run. And that wasn't working either. Like, I would have rather us just gone and tried to sack him because we weren't slowing him down from running.
No. After seeing Jalen Hurts' stats tonight, I do worry about that game later in the year against the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll worry about that in New Year's Day or whenever it is.
Are we worried about the run defense?
Yes. No,
I'll just go back to my original thing. I think this is a non-traditional. I'm gonna punt on that one and go maybe.
Season preview show, and it kind of worried me. Patterson looked really.
I think that everything our defense had to completely stay on their heels the whole game. Our defensive line, so they couldn't attack the run and they couldn't attack the pass. So, I'm gonna take a minute. And see what we do next week, because I think the Bucks are going to have to run the ball, and we'll kind of see what happens there.
If Leonard Fournette goes for 100 yards next week, it might be a concern. It might be a concern. But yeah, I think you said it, Wesley. It was a very, very non-traditional rushing attack that the Falcons deployed. You know, how many teams have got a 240-pound wide receiver playing running back?
Yeah.
Has anybody got anything else they want to throw out about the game?
Jarvis Landry.
At the Falcons. I mean, come on.
Jarvis Landry. Can we talk about Jarvis Landry? What a superb pickup and just slotted in. Was it 100? How many? It was over 100 yards. Can't remember the exact.
114
yards. And Olave as well. Both of them coming in the wide receivers. Just superb. Absolutely superb.
Can you imagine if somebody thought that Jarvis Landry was going to lead our team in receptions?
Imagine who would think such a thing.
I should have stuck with my original that he was going to lead in receptions and yards, but I still think Olave will catch it. But by the way, Olave, talking about a first round draft pick out there that looked fantastic, knows what he's doing. He's open. Even times he wasn't hit, because I think he only had three catches, but it was on all three targets too. Three catches on three targets. He's moving. He's fast out there. He's wide open and uses his hands and it just secures the ball. Looks great.
I don't remember if it was the 2-point conversion that Thomas caught or the touchdown. But
Thomas called the touchdown.
Olave caught the 2-point.
Olave caught the 2-point.
So it was the touchdown when Jameis threw a dart to him and reached up and snatched it. I was like, shit, that's hand strength.
He almost took the cornerback's head off with it. If it had hit his helmet, it would have.
Is it hand yoga he was doing when he first came to the league?
That's some serious hand strength to catch that.
He threw it really, really hard and he just jumped up and just plucked it and was like, yeah, okay.
And I just loved Saints Twitter, just goes into full meltdown. We were pissed off. But the questioning of Jameis Winston in that first half as well.
I have people texting me saying, in the whole second half, again, halftime, let's come out and just run Taysom as our quarterback. And I just want to say that he had a couple of good plays. It led to a touchdown. I'm not discounting that. But I think it was great of the Saints leadership to not overdo the Taysom thing in the second half, because I think that would have been the easy answer and we would not have come back in this game. That would have been the real easy default of, well, let's just put Taysom in there every third play and run it no matter what. We would have never come back in this game with that. So sticking with the game plan and then letting this open up was definitely the right idea.
I just thought of something. Was that last 2-point conversion play with Mark Ingram lined up as quarterback the stupidest fucking play you've ever seen in your entire life?
I'm almost positive that's Alvin Kamara's play, but Alvin had just walked off the field.
I don't care if it was his play or not.
Listen, I thought Sean Payton left this team, and that is definitely Sean Payton's play.
100% Sean.
That is a Sean Payton 2-point conversion play, because we've been, and also that 2-point conversion we made is the first one we made in 4 or 5 years, right?
Yep. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Since Kamara, the toss, the from Breeze, that was Washington too. Yep. 18.
Like you just had your quarterback go down the field, score a touchdown, and then you pull him off the field for the 2-point conversion.
If you're going to run it, if you're going to give someone a direct snap, you give it to Taysom,
You direct snap that to Taysom and let him.
Yeah, you give it to somebody who's been at the quarterback
explosive, someone that's remotely explosive, maybe.
Yeah.
I will say, we're talking about our tight ends. So I'm going to reserve future judgment. I'm really happy that Juwan Johnson got 5 targets. I wish he had more than 2 catches, but I like that. Because I'm telling you, he's still out there, and you can watch him in the routes. He's still running routes like a wide receiver. He still moves. He's still quick. He's put on size. But if we kind of fix that there of holding him accurately and letting him go, that's a big man that's going to, I think, be great for us. So I like that transition.
And the hurdle.
The fact they're not in the red zone as well. Like last year, they were just all in the red zone sort of targets, and we're actually using him, you know, between the 20s. What's quite nice to see.
He vaulted AJ Terrell, you know, he just left him for dust. Right. Anybody got anything else before we wrap this up?
The Falcons, just same old Falcons. Like, you always just knew there's a slight chance. 16 points, still a slight chance, because you know what the Falcons are like. And it's just hysterical. It's just hilarious. Their stadium, brand new stadium, they can't even fill it. First game of the season. Can't even fill a brand new stadium. Like I said, if they didn't have that brand new stadium, you could see them really relocating. They are a shocking fan base.
As is, of course, the tradition.
I just want to say that I really, obviously the Lutz missed field goal is worrisome, but our special teams looked really good today as far as the punting. And then, of course, Lutz makes the kick that matters. But the punting was fantastic from Gillikin. We're talking about a game where those 5 punts make a huge difference in flipping the field when our offense could not move the ball and keeping pinning them back, getting them on the other side of the field. Now, obviously, all that did was make them drive the field even further. And then I really, you know, we've got to have an opportune defense. We talked about that. This defense is going to have to get turnovers, and we got a couple today. Should have got a 3rd one. May had maybe the easiest interception ever. Hit him in the chest. But he played a great game, so I'm not going to be mad at him. But should have had 3 turnovers probably, but our defense is going to have to do that this year, especially against a game like this. And listen, first game of the season, it's not the way any of us wrote it up. A win's a win. Let's move on. I'm going to get worried if we win every game this way because I won't make it to the end of the season. But this is starting 1-0. It doesn't really matter how you get there by the end of it.
No, you're right. And you were sorry, Scott, just one quick thing. Wesley, you were talking about the special teams there in the punt team. Alonte Taylor is seriously quick.
Man.
Seriously.
He was down almost too quick. He's down there on every play. Like, and I don't even know where the guy blocking him is. It's not, you know, normally like the guy blocking him is running next to him, kind of patting him. His blocker is like barely is not within arm's reach of him by the time he gets down there.
Looking forward to seeing him play on the defense. I can't wait to see that
coming. Yeah, he's going to be our starting nickel cornerback next year.
He is. Right, Scott, have you come up with what you were going to say, or is it gone?
I do. I wanted to talk a second about the spike play.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't Jameis's fault. The ref, I don't know what happened, but he was down in bounds. Like, I don't know why the clock wasn't still running. I don't know why they called him out of bounds, because he wasn't out of bounds. He caught the ball in bounds, and he fell down, and the guy touched him. So the clock should have been running. So Jameis was 100% correct in spiking that ball. Maybe he should have looked up at the clock or whatever, but he wasn't out of bounds.
No, he definitely wasn't out of bounds. And then do we want to talk about very, very quickly the fumble in the first half that just before halftime that wasn't given, and then they didn't even look at it?
I don't understand. I don't understand how they didn't even look at it.
Like, I watched that 30 seconds later. I watched on another, I have 2 TVs up where I'm watching the games. I watched Washington fumble that exact same play, and it's called a fumble. Like 30 seconds later in real time.
But how did they not even look at it? It's in 2 minutes. Look at the fuck.
They said they reviewed it, and the booth said it's not reviewed.
They're fucking
it's so
stupid.
Crazy.
And they're lying because they don't even review that quick. But one last thing for me on the game is Marshawn Lattimore, just screw your head on a little bit more, mate. You don't do stupid shit like that right at the end of the game. Like, there's no need for that whatsoever. And I saw it straight away when it happened. And before the flag, I saw it straight away and I was like, oh shit. And then the flag came out. I was like, 100% was a flag. You just can't be doing that sort of shit.
Speaking of flags, DeMario Davis came to do his post-game interview holding a Rise Up Atlanta flag that was thrown on the field after the game. He's carrying it around on his shoulder. Hey, and I really liked him. He was a little petty and chatty today after some plays. Like he was trying to get people fired up. And I did like the reporters talking about huge difference on the two sidelines where Atlanta's like being all hyped up and trying to, keep everybody energized, and our defense like, no, we're okay, we'll get down, we trust. That I think that shows in the end because they were worn the heck out and our guys were just still playing defense.
Yeah. Right. Great game. Is that it from everybody?
Yeah.
Got it? Right, okay. Well, obviously we're going to cover more of the – oh, no, Scott has one more thing.
All right, I know you're hosting this time, and I don't know if Ben's hosting next time, but traditionally on the Instant Reaction, we do headlines for tomorrow, don't we, as a final thoughts? No, we're not doing that? Okay.
Well, I haven't done one. Has everybody else done one?
I was choked again.
Scott, give us your headline. Go on. As you've done it, we'll let you do it.
I'll say the one.
There's
I'm
a big
say.
Build up for this. This better be good.
No, it's really not good. I was just going to say Falcon's going to Falcon. Wes, you got a headline, Wesley? You got a headline, Wesley? No? Okay.
No headline. Right, that's it for today's two-point conversion show. Join us later in the week for a more measured response to the victory from the Saints over the Falcons. I think we're recording Wednesday, I think, is our dedicated night for recording. Is it Monday, Wednesday? Who knows? It'll be later in the week. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Who dat?
Good night, Pet Nation.
God save the king.
See you guys later.
We can be heroes. We just want